Shirts. Welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. And today, I want to talk about my AB&E campaign, The Broken Lands, with a quick general overview and then a recap of the last session. But first, call in about my last episode from Joe Richter of the podcast Hindsightless. Take it away, Joe.
Hey Larry, it's Joe from Hindsightless, aka The Blind Rat. And dude, this was a very powerful episode. Good for you for putting it out. I'm sorry you've had to unfriend people on social media and stuff. I get it. But in a sense, it's goodbye to bad rubbish, man. Like, honestly, people that don't get it, I don't think they will ever get it. I have family members like that, and it's a shame, but, you know, the truth comes out with their actions and with what they say. So, man, take care of yourself. Stay up, dude. I'm still support the hell out of you, Larry. So take it easy. I hope you hear from the scheduler soon and that the surgery goes as, you know, as well as it can, man. Anyway, dude, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. Take it easy. Peace out.
Thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. The last episode, I was a little concerned about it, but what comments I did get were positive. I guess the negative commenters remained silent, or there were none. So that was good. And about the surgery, I just found out yesterday that I won't be having surgery in July. I guess because they got so backed up from the shutdown that only emergency surgeries were happening, that they're still getting through the backlog. And so it's been pushed off to August, but when in August, I don't know yet. So I'm still waiting on the call for that. So the good news is I've been waiting so long to get the call that I've kind of gotten past the dreading surgery stage to just being annoyed because I hate waiting. So I guess that's an improvement. My frame of mind is definitely better. I'm more engaged and enthused about prepping for my campaign, and obviously I've got another episode coming out. I've done a couple of blog posts, and I've got ideas for getting stuff out for my Patreon, which I haven't had anything out since March, so I guess looking up as well as can be expected. So thanks for calling, Joe. I hope all's going well with you. And on to the rest of the story. In past episodes, I've talked about different things that have gone on in my current AD&D campaign and some of my ideas that led to the planning and preparation to launch this campaign. So what sets it apart a little bit from some others is I don't have a defined pantheon of gods. I decided to keep it simple. I have powers of light and powers of dark, and left it flexible for player characters to specify a deity if they want to. But most people, you know, just worship the general powers. And alignment is not important to me. Good or evil is based on your actions, so that's how I do it. And within the campaign, on the light versus dark, good versus evil, the powers of light are accepting of the natural course of death. It's okay to eat and drink and heal yourself to preserve life, but anything that extends life or prevents the inevitability of death is seen as evil, and those that seek to prevent death are usually swindled by the dark powers into being lower forms of undead, and only the most powerful of those that go that route end up having any form of control or sentience about them. So that was the main setting, overarching theme that I had for my campaign. How it started is there was an earthquake near a town called Farthorpe, which is the last village on the King's Road, which is what they call the Ancient Wizard Road, the road that doesn't wear out because it was made with the powers of wizards in ages past. Well, this earthquake, a few days later, all these undead show up in Farthorpe and the surrounding valley, so all the surrounding little villages and whatnot, people are killed and driven off, and there was a band of adventurers nearby, and they did what they could, and one of their group was a paladin, and the paladin faced some horrid creature, and there was a blinding flash of light, and they assumed the paladin gave his life to save everybody, and there's now a cairn to mark the spot. And a few weeks after everything's kind of settled, there's a new baron appointed by the king. The party shows up, and they track the remains of people dragged off to this underground temple that they later learn is called the Temple of Binding. When they go in there, they enter through this crack in the roof of the main sanctuary of the temple, and there are three magic circles, one much larger than the other two. Well, two of them are empty because the collapse destroyed the magic circle, but one creature was still held, and they managed to set that creature free. So that was interesting. Basically, they managed to get the Temple of Binding under control and help take care of any undead that they find and whatnot. And along the way, they met up with this group that I just call them Sand Vikings. I've got another name for them, but I've just left calling them Sand Vikings because think of Vikings, but they sail their ships across the sand of the desert. My campaign is called the Broken Lands because to west of Farthorpe is desert and rough terrain based on range and basin terrain. If you look that up in Wikipedia, you'll learn more about that. The Broken Lands came about due to ancient wars with powerful magics and so forth. Well, the Sand Vikings were also afflicted by the undead, and they came from the west across the sands, and they found the temple, and the party worked out an alliance with them, and the couple of leaders that showed up helped them clear the temple out of the undead. And then they found under the temple a tomb to someone referred to as the Necromancer. And they took care of the undead in this area, managed to seal him in his sarcophagus so he couldn't get out. And there was a portal that opened up to a mountaintop temple that was a place that they worship the Necromancer. And they took care of the undead there and some human guards. And then this individual that they later learned has the title Son of the Necromancer showed up, and they managed to drive him off and now covet his flying carpet. And then they sealed the portal. And by sealing the portal and doing what they did to seal the sarcophagus, they are fairly certain that it's going to be near impossible to reopen the portal. And the only real way they're going to set the Necromancer free is to actually come from the west to the Temple of Binding. So the party has taken care of all their miscellaneous adventures to satisfy themselves that Farthorpe is secure and that the Temple of Binding is secure, and they decided to go back west with the Sand Vikings. And so now, in the last couple of sessions, they've been headed west into the Broken Lands with the Sand Vikings. They're sailing their ships. They're headed to the home area of the Sand Vikings. And the Sand Vikings have tails of the Necromancer, so they're going to try to stop the Son of the Necromancer from finding something that they've learned was called the Key. And they believe it, well, the Son of the Necromancer evidently believes it's in the ruins of a town where his forces were camped that they spied from the mountaintop temple before they left through the portal and sealed it. And so that was many sessions ago. We're up to, I believe, session 38 will be tomorrow. But for the journey across the desert, I developed some new tables that are specific to this area. And I'm also referencing my various PDFs, especially my Deserts and Desert Encounters PDFs. That here's a little plug you can get at my drive-through RPG store. I'll have a link in the show notes. And with all the magic that was used in the ancient wars, there's lots of weird things. You know, monsters and creatures unlike anything they've ever encountered. And so this is where I get to use creatures that I've either never used as a game master, and several that I've never or rarely faced as a player. And I have a lot of fun with that. The Sand Vikings told the party it took them 3 days to come east, but the winds are blowing from the west. So part of my table is which way is the wind blowing, all that good stuff. And so the wind is coming from the west, and so they're tacking into the wind. Now they estimate it's going to take them a week to go back west because of the contrary winds. And this last session, they encountered a wounded sandworm, basically a reskinned purple worm. Of course, there was all the jokes about Shai Hulud, but this wounded purple worm, they discovered that what wounded it was a rock that swooped in and finished it off and carried off half of it. They said, oh, which half did they carry off? Was it the stinger? And yes, it carried off the stinger. But the party cut open the remains, hoping to find valuables. There were no valuables other than the teeth that they took as trophies. Some were big enough for daggers. Others they claimed for arrowheads. So we'll see if those come into play in any functional way. They were paying attention and asked which way was the purple worm traveling, or the sandworm traveling. And they saw this rock outcropping, and they went to the rock outcropping and were cautious and found 20 young and slew all but one of the young. They captured one. I'm not sure how that's going to work out for them, but they slept them, and I'm not sure how they're going to handle that, but we'll find out. And they found a little bit of treasure. Before they got there, they did encounter a couple of oases, and that's got them through the first 2 days of travel. So I figured out everything else that's between where they are now and the home area of the Sand Vikings and planned out the locations and so forth. And that's 5 more days of travel, unless they decide to take longer to deal with things that they might find along the way. I'm anticipating a bare minimum of 2 or 3 more sessions to finish crossing the desert, and it could take 6 or 8 depending on what they decide to do. And I have a general mental picture about what they're going to find on the western edge of the sands, but I haven't made a map or put any other information into actual notes. That's kind of what I'm working on, trying to get that wrapped up, and so I'm going to plan to work on that as much as possible between sessions. It's good that it's also helping me refine my desert tables and get some ideas to improve my desert PDF. So, as I mentioned, my frame of mind is a lot better, I guess just because I've been waiting for this dreaded surgery so long that my ability to worry about it has, I guess, run out of steam. I'm sure when I get the call and the few days before, the worry will come back. That's only natural, but until I get to that point, I guess I'm good, and I'll milk that for all it's worth and get some stuff done. So that's what's up with me. If I wasn't clear about something in my campaign, I'd like to talk about it. I'm not going to take the time to go back and figure out what episodes I talked about my stuff in the past. I may do that later on the show notes, but I'll be glad to answer any questions if there's any call-ins. I've mentioned it before. What's really hilarious is I also play in a campaign called The Broken Lands that's a BX game using Orcs of Thar by Carl Rodriguez on Monday nights. I have to be really clear when I'm talking about Broken Lands which one I'm talking about. So that's all I've got for now. I hope you all are doing well and staying safe and healthy, that you and your loved ones are getting along, and if you live alone, I hope you're able to maintain social connections online. And just remember to take care of yourself, eat right, get enough rest, get out and take a walk, wear a face mask, keep the 6 feet, and wash your hands. And as always, game on. Follow Me and Die is an old school RPG podcast. I share my experiences and ideas about role-playing games that all started with the Holmes Blue Box Basic Dungeons & Dragons over 40 years ago. I've played lots of role-playing games that were new in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and some of those I still like to play, especially Dungeons & Dragons. But there's more than older role-playing games out there. I share ideas that will fit into any game or genre. so check out my podcast. I'm always looking for a few good minions.
Better do what Grubba says.